A key indicator says the recovery may not be as strong as we thought.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. Happy Friday from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Commerce Department said today the American economy hasn't been growing as fast as economists had predicted. Cuts to state and local government spending slowed the growth rate to 2.8% for the last 3 months of 2010. And with all the chaos in Libya this week, the price of oil has surged, which is raising concerns about rapidly rising gas prices, whether the fragile economy can handle that added strain, and whether car makers have made fuel efficiency adjustments since the last time gasoline was so high. Michelle Krebs is a senior analyst at Edmunds.com, and she's with us now from Detroit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are the car companies ready to deal with the higher gas prices, do you think?
Well, they say they are, and certainly we can say that they are in far better shape than when we had the 2008 gas price spike that just really hurt the industry, and it was the start of the recession.
Are you telling us that they learned something then from the last price hike?
Well, I don't know that they learned something because those vehicles were already in the works. What is happening is the federal government has a mandate of higher fuel economy that goes into effect for 2016. So they are building vehicles that get better fuel economy.
If we see these sustained oil prices and higher gas prices throughout this year and going forward, what does that do for the recovery?
When gas prices soar, people get very nervous about any kind of purchase, and they don't buy anything. And this economy is extremely fragile. Auto sales are only growing in small increments, and so it could shut off that recovery. I think that's the bigger issue for the economy and for the auto industry rather than what people will buy.
Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com. Michelle, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P up about 0.5%. NASDAQ up nearly 1%. The Dow higher by 32 points, 12,101. American consumer sentiment in February was up to its highest level in 3 years. Cutting down and burning forests accounts for 20% of global greenhouse gas emissions. The United Nations wants to reduce that by offering carbon credits in exchange for saving trees. And now Google wants to help. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
A few years ago, the Google Earth team went to Brazil to help scientists and tribal leaders make videos about illegal logging in the rainforest.
Começaram me ameaçar madeireiras, pessoas. Já foram mortos 11 lideranças.
Google engineer Rebecca Moore was there.
They said, what we really need Google to do is help us stop the deforestation of the Amazon. We're losing over 1 million acres a year.
She says the Brazilians wanted to see illegal logging as it happened. They wanted to monitor forest density over time, and they wanted national forest data, not just slivers.
You could stage armed guards all around that forest. Well, the illegal logging activities move up the road to a different forest. So to really be effective, you need to do it continent scale, global scale.
More than 25 years of satellite forest photos were readily available, but no one had stitched them together. Enter Google. It donated its mega computer processors for the task. Rebecca Moore's team built software to interpret the data. Google Earth Engine launched last month. It lets you virtually cruise the world's green belts.
We're going to fly into the Mexico forest map. Yeah.
And access data on temperature changes or canopy cover for free.
We can update it every day. We're creating essentially a living, breathing model of the planet.
It's the first tool for scientists and government officials to monitor forests globally. David Diaz is with the nonprofit Forest Trends.
Google Earth Engine allows everyone to kind of use the same currency.
He says currency because the United Nations is putting a price on forests, specifically the carbon they soak up, to make it more profitable to save them than destroy them. Wealthy nations can pay to protect those forests as a way to offset their own pollution. And Earth Engine helps verify that it's working.
The donor countries want to have, you know, kind of a reliable metric for determining who is performing and who is not performing.
The more that countries like Brazil and Mexico can digitally prove they're saving their trees, the more money they stand to make. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
CBS says its most popular show, in fact, the most popular TV sitcom on television, is officially on hiatus. The network says actor Charlie Sheen's latest outburst means it'll stop production of Two and a Half Men for the rest of the season. Marketplace's Janet Babin has that.
CBS canceled the season after this bizarre rant from Charlie Sheen on the Alex Jones radio show.
I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold. And the gratitude I get in this is this charlatan chose not to do his job, which is to write.
The show is the top-rated sitcom on TV right now. Other networks will probably try to capitalize on the hole in CBS's Monday night lineup. But Porter Bibb at MediaTek Capital Partners says try is the operative verb here.
Sure, the Charlie Sheen episode is going to leave a small gap, but I don't believe that there's going to be much room for anybody else to slip in between the hit shows that CBS is broadcasting today.
CBS makes about $1 million in bottom line profits from each episode of Two and a Half Men, so it's not likely to let the show go gently into that good night. Bibb expects the network will replace Sheen next season. Viewers might notice, he says, but he doesn't expect they'll mind much. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, police in Orlando, Florida, arrested a man for planting a computer virus in the software of all those whack-a-mole games you see at the arcade. It's a great stress reliever, right? The mole pops out and you smack it back down. Authorities say whack-a-mole employee Marvin Wimberly rigged the technology to fail on purpose so he would have to fix it and keep his job. I wonder how many of those game redemption tickets he's going to need to post bond. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter, at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You've been to a movie lately? Have you noticed something missing in the trailers?
I really think the voiceover became almost a parody of itself, where it's just so easy to spot it and get distracted by it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Voiceovers as a thing of the past. We'll have that, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.